I next met with Dr. Tewari, and to begin, I asked him about his approach to sequencing of systemic therapies in metastatic cervical cancer.
So with these patients in the frontline setting, you know, I always look for a trial. And if I don't have a trial, standard of care is chemo plus bevacizumab. However, we have to also realize that bevacizumab may not be effective or confer a survival benefit in low-risk patients. Bevacizumab in the previously treated patient comes with the risk of fistula formation. So there is one of the objectives of the GOG-240 trial with bevacizumab was to try to identify who is high risk, mid risk, and low risk. And what we showed the patients that are low risk by virtue of not having pelvic disease, not having had prior platinum, not having a performance status greater than one, not having had a short disease-free interval from time to recurrence, and not being socioeconomically disadvantaged. Those patients that don't have any of those five clinical prognostic factors, the benefit seen with bevacizumab is minuscule. So what I do is a patient with recurrent disease, I calculate their Moore score, M-O-O-R-E. We published it in Clinical Cancer Research after GOG-240 was mature. And if their Moore score, if they have zero or one of those factors, we consider them low risk and we offer them chemotherapy with the bevacizumab, but we tell them that there may not be a survival advantage, but there's the 6 to 8% fistula risk. If they've got a score of 2 to 3, and again, the five prognostic factors are short disease-free interval, pelvic disease, prior platinum with radiation, socioeconomic disadvantaged, and performance status greater than one. If they have 2 or 3 of those factors, there is a survival benefit observed with bevacizumab. And certainly 4 or 5 factors, there's a stronger survival benefit. So I counsel patients and I put them on carboplatin because they've had cisplatin with their radiation, paclitaxel, and bevacizumab if there isn't a clinical trial available for the patient that relapses after cisplatin-based chemoradiation.
And what's next?
After that, then they progress. I check their PD-L1 status. If they got a PD-L1 positive tumor, they can get pembrolizumab. If they don't, I can offer them participation in the cemiplimab study. And beyond that, we now have antibody drug conjugates that are being studied in the phase 3 setting. Tisotumab vedotin is a drug that uses tissue factor, monoclonal antibody against tissue factor, and it has a linker that's connected to a payload. So it's almost like a Trojan horse or a suicide bomber or a warhead. So the tissue factor antibody binds to the cancer cell that expresses tissue factor receptor. The cancer cell internalizes the antibody with its payload, which is the drug, and the drug kills the cell. So we're studying that.
So just a couple other questions. One, we've seen throughout oncology studies looking at VEGF TKIs plus IO. Obviously, you have an endometrial, lenvatinib, pembro, and this renal, that kind of strategy. Has that been looked at in cervical, and do you think it makes sense to look at?
I think it does. So Brad Monk at U.S. Oncology in Creighton University in Arizona, he did a randomized phase 2 study of pazopanib versus lapatinib, pazopanib being an oral TKI anti-angiogenesis drug, and showed a significant improvement in progression-free survival in cervix against lapatinib, which is essentially anti-EGF. And so I think lenvatinib, cedirinib's been studied in the UK. Dr. Simmons, I believe, was the first author of the CIRCA trial, C-I-R-C-A. It was a randomized phase 2 carboplatin paclitaxel with or without cedirinib, and it showed a significant improvement in progression-free survival in cervix, and more importantly, objective response was 65%, I think, which is even higher than with bevacizumab. And so the idea of combining immunotherapy with anti-angiogenesis is very attractive because we know that VEGF, which is the target of, for example, bevacizumab, VEGF is immunosuppressive in the tumor microenvironment. It makes T cells not work very well. It attenuates the response of dendritic cells. And so targeting VEGF with anti-angiogenesis therapy may make immunotherapy more effective. So I love that idea, studying the two of them together.
You mentioned the antibody drug conjugate, tisotumab vedotin. Have you actually given it to any patients on trial?
Yeah, we have a couple patients enrolled. at this point at UC Irvine, because the linker is felt to be responsible for some of the ocular toxicity that is seen, patients see an ophthalmologist first. They're using eye drops and the patients are doing well. I don't know if they're getting the drug or not because these are placebo-controlled studies, but we've got two patients on trial.
You remind me a little, but I know there are ocular problems.
It's more like dry eyes. It's more of dry eyes. But as you can understand, Neil, anytime you talk about side effects that involve eyes to patients, patients get very understandably uncomfortable. So it's very important that we counsel them very carefully. In the studies, the phase two studies that have been done with this drug, there was only one very serious ocular toxicity that didn't resolve. Everyone else, it's been limited and resolved. But it's very important to use the eye drops, very important to see the ophthalmologist before enrolling on the study or before getting treated.
So these two patients, even though you don't know what they were on, neither of them had eye problems?
Not so far. We just activated the trial maybe in February. And again, with COVID and everything, you know, our cancer center made a decision that all the treatment trials can continue. But also, it's been a little hard to get patients to come in. And so we're just slowly ramping things up. But I think we'll be able to probably put quite a few patients on that study.
Do you think right now the best place to use that would be either somebody who's PD-L1 negative, who you were going to give, you know, a second line therapy, or somebody after getting Pembro? Would that be a logical next step?
I think so. And my paradigm is if they're eligible for the trial, I'm going to recommend that trial before I recommend anything else that's off study, because these trials are really well designed with tisotumab vedotin. And I think the objective response in heavily pretreated patients in the phase two is probably 31 to 33%, maybe even as high as 34%. So it's a promising agent. All these agents are promising. We just hope that they result in some clinically meaningful benefit.